Good morning. Good to see you all here. Good to have you here. If you're visiting with us, we invite you back again each and every opportunity that you have. We'll meet again this evening at 5 o'clock on Wednesday nights at 7, and again on Sunday morning at 10. A couple of weeks ago, we started a lesson on knowing your opponent, knowing who your opponent is, and knowing how your opponent's going to go about fighting you and how you need to go about fighting your opponent. And we talked about that, knowing that our opponent, we recognized him as the devil, and he's known by many different names, and some of those names could be on the board. We know that he's going to tempt us, that God gives us a way to escape that temptation. Satan's going to offer us a counterfeit style of religion, but there is but one religion. He begins by making us tolerant to certain things, and he does that by political correctness and giving us a good laugh, making us laugh at sin and slowly become accepted, making sin acceptable. And we know that he's going to do whatever it takes, whatever means necessary, he is going to use to try to win us over, to try to make us leave God and go to him and go to his side. That's what Satan is going to do. And we ended by reading the short little poem or story, as you may have it, of if I were the devil, and if I were the devil, I would do this, and I would do that, and I would do all these different things. And it ended with, I guess I would leave things pretty much the way they are. And that kind of gets us to where we are this morning, and the second part, if you will, of this lesson. And knowing what Satan's going to do, and knowing how he's going to go about attacking us. Well, Satan is going to attack our weaknesses. Well, that's a given. We talked about that when we were going to play ball, that we would look and we would see, we know if the secondary is real weak, guess what? We're going to hit them with passes. We're going to go deep. They got a weak front line, we're going to just run it down their throat. That's how we're going to go about this. We're going to hit them where they're weak. Well, we know to expect Satan to hit us where we're weak, to hit us where we are at our weakest point. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. You see, my weaknesses may not be your weaknesses. And in likewise, your weaknesses may not be mine. So we have to look at ourselves. Check ourselves individually, test ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Look and examine. See where you're weak. See where you're not weak. See where you need to make improvements. It's so easy to look at somebody and go, oh, well, they need to fix this. They need to fix that. Why don't we look at ourselves? Ain't nobody know me better than me. I know where I need to work. You know where you need to work. Know that Satan is going to attack you at your weakest spots. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Check yourself. I believe it was on Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day the little storm come through. It was kind of hit and miss. You either got it or you didn't. You was happy if you did, and if you didn't, you're hoping again. But it actually had a little good bit of lightning and thunder and heavy winds to it. Well, we got dispatched out to a place out on close to the Elk River on 72. Right before you get to Little Elk Road, there's a line that takes off and it goes through the biggest kudzu vine patch you've ever seen. And a tree had fell. And that tree fell, and it fell right across the line. Well, there was about three of us, and we had to make it up the big ditch and come down the other side of it and walk through that kudzu vine and get over there to kind of be where we could cut the tree down. Well, we cut the tree limb off, got it cleared out of the way, got back in the truck, went to make the line back cut. Well, we were sitting there waiting. One of my buddies, he said, you know, we need to check ourselves for ticks when we get back in. Because we were just in the biggest tick-infested part of the country we could probably ever be in. Well, yes. Well, that's what you got to do. We got back and we looked. We took our shoes off, took our socks off, pulled our pants up, took the shirt off, went to the bathroom, checked everywhere else. We checked for ticks. We did not want any ticks on us anywhere, any kind of way, shape, form, or fashion. If we would use that diligence in checking ourselves for where are we weak? Where are our weaknesses? Looking ourselves spiritually and saying, well, this one little thing might be what's sucking all the life out of me. That one little problem might be what is the key to getting rid of that, to making me become closer and drawing near to God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There are many things that could be our weaknesses. Laziness, lack of discipline, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's your spirit, your insecurity, or our own flaws. Our laziness. Idle hands are the devil's handiwork. A lack of discipline. We need to find somebody who can make us be more disciplined. Make us have more structure in our lives. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Jesus told us if your hand causes you to sin, do what? Cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. The severity of what sin does to us and in our lives is so great, it is better, as he went on to say, to enter the kingdom of heaven lame or blind than it is to enter in hell with all of your body parts. Where is your weakness? Get rid of your weaknesses. Strengthen it. Is your faith weak? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what do you need to do? Hear the Word of God. Read. Study. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. We know that Satan is going to attack our weaknesses. And as we intensify on correcting those weaknesses, and we say, well, I'm weak over here, I need to make it stronger, we need to keep in mind that Satan's going to attack our strengths. What? What do you mean he's going to attack us at our strengths? He's going to hit you where you least expect it. In 1941, Japanese had a great plan that we're going to attack America at the place where they'll least expect it. We're going to hit them where they think they're safe. No torpedo attack could happen because we're in too shallow of water. That's exactly what they did. They used where America thought they were strong, where they thought they were safe, where they thought they were secure. I have no worries. I have no problems. And they said, well, we'll show you. We use that against you. Satan's going to do the exact same thing. He's going to attack our strength. While we're so busy worried about our weaknesses and increasing our weaknesses to where they're no longer weak, but they become strong, we encounter what I'd like to call the bodybuilder syndrome. And what do you mean by that? Well, I want you to think about, you've seen these guys before. It's great big old bodybuilders. Muscled up. Look like they got legs coming out of their arms. But what they are is you see this big, great big bowling ball up top, walking around on two little toothpicks. Got little chicken legs. I don't have any big legs by any means. But what happened is they said, well, you know, I need to go to the, I'm going to start working out. And I got a pretty good base, you know. I don't really have, you know, my legs are pretty strong. I've always been walking around. I'm pretty strong, you know, on my legs and stuff. So what I need is I need a bigger chest, shoulders, backs, and arms. So that's what they work on. They work on that every day. And they forget to work on their legs. They forget to work on the lower body parts. So what they end up is that big bowling ball and them little toothpicks walking around. And we can do the same thing as Christians, if we're not careful. So concentrated over here, these are my weaknesses. This is where I'm weak. I need to get better here. I need to get back better here. I'm comfortable over here. I'm fine. I don't have any problems. And then Satan hits you right there where you think you have all the strength in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Be watchful. Take heed. Be careful. Look out. We have to maintain humility and not boasting in areas we perceive we are strong. Be sober, be vigilant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 starts out saying, be of straight mind, be thinking, be vigilant, be watchful, look out, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We got to be ready. Because the devil's walking around looking in every way for any opportunity that he has. Even attacking us where we feel the most comfortable. Because that's when we become the most vulnerable. Over the last 10 years of my life, I've seen Christians who were strong in the faith, who perceived to be great, perceived to be godly men, godly women, who perceived to be just the ideal Christian. And by all measures, they truly were. They were good men, good women. But they neglected the fact that I need to be ready even in my strong points. Committing sins that we as humans classify as biggie sins. Crazy things like fornication, adultery, homosexuality, stealing, and even to the point of murder. And we think, I know they never would I have dreamed they did that. And the craziest thing is everyone around them said, man, I'm in shock. I cannot believe they did that. And even the person themselves go, I never dreamed I would end up where I'm at. This was never any kind of a thought for me to be here, to end up in this sin. We have to be careful and understand that no, maybe right now at this moment in time, this temptation means nothing to me. Who's to say that 10 years down the road something's not going to change? And this temptation will say, well, it'd be all right. It'd be okay. Nobody will ever know. I can hide this, nobody will ever find out. Even when we're strong, we have to be watchful. We have to be on guard. Because that roaring lion is going to seek out, and he will devour whomever he can. One of the last things to talk about is discouragement. We spoke a moment ago about our own flaws, our weaknesses, our own flaws. The devil is great at using our own flaws and our own problems and using them against ourselves. He said, you see that? You messed up. You're imperfect over here. You see that? Look at how imperfect you are. Look at how perfect you ought to be. You'll never achieve that. Satan is going to discourage you every way he can. Every way possible. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. We'll read a few verses there. Matthew 27, verse 3. If you remember, Judas had sold out Christ for the value of 30 pieces of silver. I think sometimes maybe we miss this part of the story. Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, who betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed innocent blood. Let's stop right there. Judas messed up. What did Judas do? Judas realized it. Judas said, I betrayed innocent blood. I fouled up. I made a major uh-oh. Here's 30 pieces of silver that I traded for him. Give me back Christ. And they said at the end of verse 4, what is that to us? See thou to it. He cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. What did Judas do? Judas said, well, I messed up. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to go back. I'm going to do what I have to do to make this right. He was sorrowful. He repented. They said, we got what we want. That's your problem. And the devil immediately worked on Judas. He'd been working on him all along the way. Judas saw a glimpse of hope in doing what was right. And Satan said, you just betrayed the Son of God. That's exactly what you just did, Judas. You did that. There's nothing in this world you could ever do to make that right. You just deserve to die just as much as he does. And that ate at Judas, and he went out and hung himself. What about Job? What happened to Job? Job was highly discouraged. Satan attacked him every which way. He went at him with everything he had, and he used discouragement the most. All of Job's friends said, just curse God and die, Job. That would be better than what you're going through. Satan even started using Job's friends to discourage him into doing what was right. Satan is going to discourage us with fiery trials, with fear, frustrations, hindering the work of God, and with criticism. The devil had a garage sale one day, and he had all of these things out for sale. He had, you know, trials, temptations, he had all of these vices that he would use. He had them all up for sale, and a man walked up, and he asked the devil, he said, what is this over here in the corner? I see here you have all of these items for sale, and you have a price on them, but over in the corner is a worn-out, heavily used object. It's far from looking new. It's very used, but yet that has the highest price. What is that? Why is it so high? He said, well, this here is discouragement. He said, and when everything else that I use fails, when I've used all of my other items, and they don't work, discouragement never lets me down. And that's why it's got the highest prices, because it's the thing which I value the most. It's the thing which means the most to me. And I believe that story to be true. Because Satan is going to use discouragement to attack each one of us individually. And it has such good success because discouragement is contagious. And that's another thing we have to cut off and put it down. Discourage. Nothing's going right. Oh, poor, pitiful me. We talked this morning in class about Eeyore. Oh, me. It's all bad. Nobody cares about me. I'm miserable. Nobody is here to cheer me up. All that is just Satan doing more and more and more to discourage you, to make you feel down, to make you feel out, to make you feel unwanted, unneeded, uncared for, and useless. Satan is going to discourage us. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 145, it says, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cry for help, I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Have you ever tossed and turned in bed all night? Looking at the alarm clock going, when is that going to go off? When it says in verse 47, I prevented the dawning of the morning, you couldn't wait for morning to come. You tossed and turned and thought, well, all of these things running through your mind. And the harder you tried to fall asleep, the lumpier the mattress got, the more your back ached. Because you had something else on your mind. You had something else on your heart. You were highly discouraged. You notice what David did in 147. He said, I hope in your word. In verse 148, he said, that I am a meditate on your word. 151, all your commandments are truth. 152, concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. We can find a source of encouragement in our times of discouragement in God. This is a whole other lesson in of itself, but this is how I'm going to end this one. How are we going to beat the devil? How can we stand to face all of his attacks? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we have the Lord's armor. It said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He said, put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say put on part of it. He didn't say put on most of it. He didn't say put on some of it. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And if you've ever looked at these items and what they are, we've got a breastplate, a waist, a helmet, feet, a shield. All of these items that are listed are defense items except for one. The sword. The Word of God. Why is it that so many items are given as defense weapons and only one offensive weapon? It's because we're going to be under attack a whole lot more than we're going to be attacking. That we need to be prepared to give a defense. To put off the devil. To ward him off. Are you here this morning having fallen under attack from the devil? Having been under siege this morning and so much pressure on you from him that you can see no way out? That you feel like there's no hope, that there's no chance for you to get out? I've seen the end of the game. I know what the end of the battle looks like. The end of the war has God triumphant and all of His army. So how do you win? The only way to defeat the devil is to put God on our team and to play God's way. That's it. And if you're not on His team this morning, you're fighting against Him. And you're fighting on the losing team. Know your opponent. What has he done to you? And know that God can help you in whatever you do. If you need to correct your life in any way, please do it as we stand and as we sing.